Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
This morning we're talking about the mind. What if we get caught in a mind trap? My wife and family and I lived in Hong Kong for just over 5 years, and in fact two of our daughters were born there. They're Hong Kongians by birth. And my daughter Joss was telling me just the other day, we belonged to a swimming club when we lived in Hong Kong, and this particular occasion, parents' worst nightmare. Little girl went missing. Where is she? As it turned out, she was trapped in the ladies' toilet, couldn't get out. Super dad to the rescue. Got her out of there, busted a door down, and she was safe. But she says she's never forgotten that time, you know, locked and trapped in the toilet, and it stayed with her. What a terrifying situation for a little girl who's 3 or 4 years of age. What if our minds have us trapped? What if we're stuck in a mindset that is not the best for us? Trapped in a negative mindset. We all have some kind of mindset on the spectrum, negative to positive, super negative, super positive. It's almost as if our thoughts, our thought patterns, our mindset is an operating system. Your computer, doesn't matter how good the hardware or the software is, it has an operating system that makes it work, and if the operating system is not working, it's blue screen of death on your computer for you. Not a good way to start the organizational year or week at all. Don't you hate it when that happens? Because the operating system is shut down. What if our minds, in the same way, have actually trapped us? The question of this series is, how do we know when a mindset has become a mind trap? So let's think about it. Let's examine the situation. We have three common mind traps that we're going to look at in this series. We looked at one last Sunday, the victim mentality. Today, the negative mentality, or the negative mind trap. And next week, the all or nothing trap. Don't miss it next week. You'll want to hear what that's all about. The trap today we're looking at is the negativity trap. And I want to give you some hints about this before we dive into the deeper water with this. So I've got a little game for you to play to get you involved in this. And it's an easy game to play. You don't have to raise your hand at all. You don't have to yell anything out. If you want to raise your hand or yell out, you can, but you don't have to, all right? It's kind of like tick the little checkbox in your mind about this. So I want to give you three scenarios. The first one is, let's say you're getting ready for your annual physical with your doctor. You go, Gordon, I've never done one of those in my life. Well, you should. That's your first thing. Go and do, get one. Go and see a GP again. So what are you thinking? What are you thinking? You're getting ready for this physical with your doctor. What are you thinking? Are you thinking, man, this is going to be good news. He's going to tell me that I'm going to live happily and healthily until I'm 100. That's me. That's what I'm believing. And I know what you're thinking. So have you, Gordon, you're nearly there. Well, don't be so cheeky. I'm only 3/4 of the way there, right? So some of you are thinking that. You're thinking, I'm going to live happily and healthily till I'm 100. Others are thinking, I haven't been feeling so well. I don't know if it's because I've been too busy, but I think it's going to be bad and sad news. In fact, it might be so bad, he might say, you haven't got much longer left. Some of you are thinking that. First scenario, yeah. Second one, your phone rings late at night. Say, no problem, Gordon, I turn the ringer off. Yeah, no, play my game, all right? You've left the ringer on, and your phone's ringing late at night. So what are you thinking? Are you thinking, I know that's going to be Lottery West. I've just won 60 mil. Some of you, yeah? Some of you. Others are thinking, hey, whenever the phone rings late at night, it's bad news from a family member. I think this is going to be a sad news time. Yeah, some of you. Third one, last one. The boss sends you a text message, says, I want you to come in and see me. What are you thinking? Are you thinking, I know he's going to give me a raise. Mary's going to be there with him, and I am on the money. He's giving me a raise. Others of you are thinking, I think the jig's up. I think I'll be driving trucks next week because I think he's going to pension me off. Right. So the whole spectrum of negativity and positivity. And so I want to talk about this morning freedom from the negativity trap. Some of you are thinking, well, I'm just naturally positive. I was born that way. I came out of the womb and I was singing a happy tune when I came out because I'm being positive all my life. I was born that way, right? Some of you, someone said to you, you are negative. And you go, no, I'm not. I just want to tell it as it is. And there's bad news coming and I'm telling you there's bad news because I'm honest, right? Well, the negativity, positivity spectrum, I wonder where you are on that. Last week at the Baldivis campus, Janine already mentioned it, we had the annual Kid Jam program for Monday to Friday. 96 primary school kids. If you weren't negative before, you might be after that, or you might be so positive. And here's the thing, a lot of volunteers to that program came from right here in Cannington. Some of them are sitting looking right at me and said, yeah, that was such a good time. I'm glad you thought that because 100 primary school kids, somewhere on the negative-positive spectrum, somewhere throughout the course of the week, some of those primary school kids are going to stay positive, but a lot of them won't for the whole time. Some of them are going to get negative. Some of them are even going to get trapped in a negative mindset. I see one volunteer here I saw with one of those negative kids, and she did so well. I would have her on my team anytime. I want to say the volunteers are awesome, and you should all give a big hand for the volunteers who came to Camp Kid Jam last week. So awesome. I want to talk to you about two primary school kids that probably weren't on our camp. It's a well-known story, and if you've heard the story before, you're going to hear it again. If it's a good story, good stories are always worth retelling. Two primary school kids, two primary school age boys, and a social experiment. Two boys, two rooms. Room number one, filled with computer games, Xboxes, food, toys, ice cream, lollies, candy. And so the saying, like a kid in a candy store. And so they put him in there and said, we're coming back in a few hours. Help yourself, play what you want to, eat what you want to. And they came back a few hours later and the kid is just sitting there looking glum. Hadn't touched a thing. And they said, well, what's wrong? Why didn't you play the games? He said, well, my luck, if I'd have played the games, I'd have probably broken them. And then my parents would have had to pay the bill and that wouldn't have gone down well for me. They said, you had all this food and lollies and candy and ice cream. And so you didn't touch it. He said, no, my luck, I'd have eaten too much. I'd been violently ill and they'd made me clean up the mess. Just negative. Kid number two, put him in room number two. And room number two is filled with horse manure and a shovel. And they put him in there, sit back in a few hours, see how you go. They came back and this kid is whistling a happy tune. He's shoveling horse manure everywhere. And they said, how come you're so happy? He said, you've got to be kidding, right? Happy? If with all this horse manure in here, there's got to be a horse in here somewhere. I'm going to find the horse. He's looking for the pony. Two men in a prison cell looked out through the bars. One looked down and saw the mud. The other looked up and saw the stars. Maybe there's a third guy in there, and all he saw was the bars. It's your choice. It's your choice. Here's the thing. Life is filled with good things that you can be negative about. Life, and you know this, is filled with a lot of manure. And you can either bemoan that fact or look for the pony. It's your choice. It's your choice. But positivity is becoming more difficult in our world, I believe. In fact, our world is becoming more and more negative. Our world is driven by fear, which often bears the fruit of negativity. All you've got to do is be a social media person and you'll know how negative it is. And you need not to read some of that stuff because it'll bring you down. It'll bring you down. You need to post positive stuff. There's a reason negativity abounds in us and positivity has a cost. But there's a benefit to positivity that's far greater and outweighs the negative mind trap that we often find ourselves in. Today, to help us navigate our way out of this negative mind trap, we're going to look at a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi. I think this is such a beautiful and positive letter, Philippians, you know. And what I find helpful is what the apostle had in the church at Philippi that he's dealing with is a lot of negative people. You read it and you find there's some negative people there. And he could have said, well, it's just not got a message for you guys. Don't be negative. But he didn't do that. Nor did he say, be positive. Nor did he say, be optimistic. He could have done all of that, but he chose to use a word that is more powerful than positive or optimistic. He used the word joy. And if you're going to find this hard-to-fix problem that we're facing, this problem of the negativity trap, it's a genuine trap. If we're going to escape it, it'd be worth looking at what kept Paul so positive in the face of adversity and negative circumstances. Here's what Paul is saying to us. In the face of adversity and negative circumstances, choose joy. Not only choose joy when things are going great, not even in spite of negative circumstances, but to choose and experience joy because of your unfavorable circumstances. So the Apostle Paul is saying, choose joy no matter what you're in the middle of. And when you follow the Apostle Paul's story, you'll see he will embody this joy and this principle, and he's going to instruct us on how we can do this also. So this letter of the Apostle Paul to the Philippians could quite genuinely be called the letter of joy, the letter of joy. You know where he was when he wrote this letter, right? He was on the beach at Bali, right? No, beach at Gold Coast, no. He was in jail in Rome. And jail in any era, in any circumstances, is not your most desired residence. And in the era in which the Apostle Paul lived, it's just not going to be good at all. It's going to be a cold, dingy, unpleasant place to be. So this makes what he has to say even more powerful when we understand that he was choosing joy in some of the worst circumstances of his life. And this is what he writes to us, Philippians 1:12. Now I want you to know, brothers, and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. In other words, Paul's saying, bad stuff has happened to me, but God has brought good stuff out of this. This has served to advance the gospel. Bad stuff happened to me, but something good is going to come out of those negative circumstances. Philippians 1:13, as a result, says Paul, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Why is he in chains? He's in chains for Christ. He's in chains for Christ. Philippians 1:14, and because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Not that there's nothing to be afraid of. The Apostle Paul would say, yes, there is. Look at me, I end up in jail. That could happen to you. But they have, what's happened to them, it served to make them confident and courageous in proclaiming the gospel. Humanly speaking, the apostle would say, I would never have chosen this outcome to be in jail. I wouldn't have done. But my confidence is in God. My confidence is that God is with me in this life and in the next life. And I'm confident that God is going to deliver me. God hasn't left me. And what has happened, it has given not only me, but everyone around me, more confidence, more courage. And so Paul has so much joy because of this, that he expresses joy again and again. It's just a four-chapter little letter, right? He references joy 16 times in this little letter. It's like, I'm chained to a Roman prison guard, but I'm telling you, I can still choose joy in the middle of these circumstances. I have joy for you. I have joy for what God has done. I have joy for what God will do. I have joy for who God is. I have joy for who Jesus is. And as you read the Apostle Paul's letter to Philippians, it becomes evident that joy begins with thoughts in the mind. Nothing replaces negativity like joy. Nothing combats negative thoughts like joy does. So in chapter 4, the Apostle Paul gets to coach us, right? You ready for some coaching? Here we go. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true. And I just want to stop there because just because it's published on social media doesn't make it true. Generally speaking, it probably isn't. It's probably someone's opinion. Don't get hung up on that. That's why I post regularly on Instagram and Facebook scriptures, because they are true. Grab hold of those. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, I just love this verb, think about. It means to dwell on. It's not just, I thought about it and I'm just driving on by. I've got that thought now. Yep, positive virtues. Yep, thank you, Paul. No, you think on them over and over again. It's an active state of consideration. Don't just think about it once and drive on by. Think on it again and again. Ponder on it. Process it. Chew on it. Mary, mother of Jesus, after the birth of Jesus, it says in Luke's gospel, she treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. That's the idea of this verb. These positive virtues and the joy principle that the apostle is about. He goes, don't just think about it once. Man, I want you to treasure up these things and ponder them in your heart over and over again. Let these positive virtues and the joy principle go round and round in your mind. Was that a negative thought sneaking in there? Oh, let's arrest that negative thought and replace it with positive virtue thoughts and joy thoughts. Paul says, think on the positive virtues. And he says you can get better at this all the time. It's not as if you say, well, I'm not that good at this. You can get better at this. The more you practice, the better you get. So if you want your mind to change, it's the invisible practice that leads to visible results. Every sport that you're aware of and know about, they know this, you need to practice. So for those of you who follow AFL, the AFL teams that are going to figure in the finals at the end of 2022 are putting in the hard yards right now in terms of fitness and practice. So practice the joy thoughts when negative thoughts enter your mind, right? Even when no one's around. Because often the negative thoughts are going to come when there isn't anyone else around. You go, well, it doesn't matter then, right? No one heard, no one saw, no one knew what I was thinking. Yeah, it does. That's the time to practice the joy thoughts and the positive virtue thoughts. Because what happens in the invisible when no one's looking will manifest itself in the visible when everyone is looking. So practice right now, even when no one's around, those crazy negative thoughts come into your mind, practice the joy thoughts. Put into practice. Now, the apostle gives us this promise, Philippians 4:9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into what? Practice. Yeah, I told you. Put into practice and the God of peace will be with you. If you want to experience the peace that's promised, then you have to put it into practice. And in this way, you create a filter in your mind that runs, all your thoughts run through that filter when you practice the joy thoughts and the positive virtue thoughts. It's like a filter. We have air conditioning here. And air conditioning, if you've got air conditioning at home, you've got a filter in that air conditioner. We've got them here, got them at Bell Davis. And a couple of times a year, you need to clean those filters out because what happens, the air conditioner draws in air, just regular air, passes it through the cold components are in your machine and it comes out here and we stay cool, right? And this coming week it's going to be more important than ever because we're going to be over 40 degrees on several days. You need the filter because the filter, what the air does, it sucks that air in, it draws in dust and lint with it. And if the dust and lint gets into the motor of your air conditioner, it's going to stuff it up. That's a technical term for it's not going to work properly anymore, all right? And so you've got, and you need to clean the filters because the filter will act like a barrier and the air's not going to get in there properly and your air conditioning is going to work twice as hard. So that's a takeaway for you to take home with you. When you get home, clean that air conditioner filter because it's sucking in air with dust and lint. So we've got this, the filter in our minds is practicing the positive virtues and the joy thoughts, and we need to be in the cabin of our mind to make that happen. And sometimes what we do, because we just don't want to pay attention, we abandon the driver's seat in the cabin of our minds and something else takes over, a negative thought, and it hijacks our thinking process and they could go anywhere. In another letter, this time to the Corinthians, Paul writes this, 2 Corinthians 10:5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up again. Often when you read this verse, I know this is a fact, we read this and we think, that's somebody else and I'm going to arrest their thoughts and I'm going to take them to Jesus. That's what I'm going to do. No, no, it's your thoughts. Well, for me, it's mine. For you, it's yours. You need to arrest your thoughts and make them obedient to Jesus, not somebody else's. Yours, that's what you need to do. Arrest your thoughts, but if you have abandoned the driver's seat in the cabin of your mind, you won't be arresting any thoughts and taking them to Jesus. We demolish every argument, every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. If you leave the driver's seat of your mind, you won't be doing that. They'll take over and they'll run rampant down the track, and you won't be able to stop them. Stay in the driver's seat of your mind. Direct those thoughts toward Jesus. Make them captive to him. In October 2018, an iron ore train up in the Pilbara, four locomotives, it's a big train, 268 wagons full of iron ore, making this big train, making its way from Mount Newman, where the mine is, to Port Hedland, where they're going to ship this iron ore. The driver stopped the train at Hester Siding, about halfway down the track, to get out to inspect a wagon. A little practicality for you. If you get out of anything you're driving, make sure you put the brake on. While he was out of the driver's seat of the lead locomotive, the train took off without him on board. And that train ran for 92 kilometres at 110 kilometres per hour toward Port Hedland until someone had the little remote to derail that. Because if they let that train motor into Port Hedland at 110 k's with that load on, it's going to wreck half of Port Hedland and certainly the port. They derailed it, and that's the pictures you got there. That's 268 wagons and four locomotives ended up like that. Toxic, anxious, stressful, negative thoughts are like a runaway train without a driver in the cabin. You need to intentionally get back into the cabin of your mind and arrest those runaway thoughts and make them captive to Christ before they damage you and damage those around you. We need to treat those thoughts like this guy in the movie Taken. Anyone seen the movie Taken? Hands up. What? Not on Netflix. You have to buy the ancient old DVD and watch that. You need to watch that. There's an organisational thing, Janine. Someone needs to buy that DVD. Don't know that you can hire them anymore. Maybe you can. Liam Neeson plays the part. Anyone know this movie? Yeah, some of you do. When his daughter is kidnapped in France, and his ruthlessness is what we need with negative thoughts. And he leaves this voicemail for the kidnapper. If you're looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have any money. But what I do have is a very particular set of skills. Skills that I have acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare to people like you. And if you let my daughter go now, that will be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you do not, I will hunt you down. I will find you and I will kill you. And now you're so glad you came to church this morning for a good message like that. That's good. You need to hunt down the negative thoughts. You need to eradicate them. You need to be ruthless as Liam Neeson in getting rid of those thoughts, those negative thoughts. And now I want to land this message this morning, kind of little bit of opposite to what I've just said, a little bit of a different tone. I want to land this message by one last reference to the Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippians. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Now, here's the problem. Here's a good thing, but here's the problem. The problem is, if you're a church person, you're so familiar with that, you've read it, you've posted that verse up on a notice board somewhere, put it on social media. Those have been around for a while when we used to do scripture in songs. Sang that one, you've even sang it as a round where this crowd over here started, rejoice in the Lord always, and then this crowd started a little bit belated, and then this crowd over here, and then we all jumbled all those words and we sang the round. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You just got the smile and said, yeah, I did that. And you know it so well, you think, what's that got to do with what we're talking about this morning, the negativity mindset? Well, I'm going to tell you, this is the mechanism to get out of the trap. And so Paul says, I've told you, rejoice in the Lord always. How often? Always. And just in case you missed it and thought, well, he can't be talking about getting out of the negativity trap. It's just one of those songs that we write and rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to tell you again. I don't want you to misunderstand. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice, rejoice. So I don't want you to misunderstand at all. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Now, for those of you who are not Jesus followers, you came this morning because someone invited you, and that's a good thing to come because you're invited, and that's a good thing to invite people. Some of you didn't, no one invited you, just came along, try out church, as people do in the first month of the year. They go, hey, I think I'll do something different, I'll go to church. You're wondering, what does it look like to rejoice in the Lord? So here's what I want to say for those of you in that category. Jesus followers, I'm going to tell you, those who came because you got invited or you just came, stay tuned and you'll get the hang of it. What he is saying, I want you to upgrade your mind and get free from the trap of negativity. Somewhere in your day to do that, you will need to plan out some time to rejoice in the Lord, Jesus followers. Which Lord are we talking about? The Lord who gave his life on the cross to make payment for your sins in order that you might have a right relationship with God for time and eternity through faith. And rejoicing in him actually replaces negative thoughts. Now, when you're rejoicing in him, there is no space left in your mind for negative thoughts at all. Rejoice in the Lord always, I'll say it again. Now, here's a thought for you about rejoicing in the Lord. Guess who else is rejoicing? And guess who they're rejoicing in? They're rejoicing in you. Is it you, Pastor Gordon? You're rejoicing in me? Well, kind of. Is it Pastor Daniel? Yeah, of course he is. Remotely, he's in Baldovis right now. And he kind of. No, it's Jesus. Jesus is rejoicing in you. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him. Jesus is nailed to a cross and he's got joy. As he feels the nails going in, he's just survived a whipping. And he's got a crown of thorns, he's got blood going everywhere. And for the joy, because he's thinking in his heart. Those people in Cannington, a couple of thousand years from now, I'm doing this for them. And one day, by faith, they're going to connect with me and with my Heavenly Father in a right relationship for time and eternity. That's bringing me joy in the midst of this pain, for the joy set before me for him. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The joy set before him. The joy set before him for time and eternity, right relationship with God through faith in Christ. Let's rejoice in the Lord out of the negativity mind trap. Let's share the joy. Jesus is rejoicing in us. Let's join with Jesus in rejoicing, and let's find our way out of the mind trap of negativity today and tomorrow when we get assaulted by it, no matter what the circumstances, as we fix our eyes on Him.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.